The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, it's always great to welcome in a friend of the show at Heartland College Sports. He is Tim Fitzgerald, Go Power Cat, covering Kansas State, and of course, also part of Big 12 Insiders. Joining us at Heartland College Sports, I'm Pete Mundo, where we always talk Big 12 Conference. And of course, there is no shortage of news, information, just great things happening across this league. We appreciate you being here. Hit that subscribe button, whether it's on the podcast or on the YouTube channel. So, Tim, let's just put a bow on football. I thought that Arizona State's run against Texas was exactly what the Big 12 needed. I think it's also what the ACC needed. Basically, it was what ESPN didn't need. It was good for the anti-SEC narrative. And even though they lost the game, which is debatable, you know what? I am thrilled with how the season ended based on where things were trending. How about you?
Me too. I mean, I think the way the top teams performed in bowl games was telling. The way Arizona State acquitted itself and staying the course, just like they've done all season, and playing to their strengths, which was, I think, a defense we didn't fully respect this season, Pete. I think we knew it was good, but the way they handled Texas was really impressive. And, of course, Cam Scataboo doing his thing once they figured out you got to wait a little bit on that Texas defensive line to get a little tuckered out, and then you can start running the ball. But I was proud of them. They should have won. You know, poor Texas, they never get breaks. I still can't wrap my mind around that no call. I think the only people in the world who think the call was right are SEC diehards and, of course, Texas fans who willfully don't want to know the rules so that they can say that that's not what the rule says.
Well, I think
clearly states that was targeting.
You're giving a pass to, I think, people that you and I know who cover Texas, who we bumped into in press boxes for years, who personally I have no beef with. But, Tim, I saw them defending the no call and the targeting. And these are people that we would see at games and media days for years. It's like, where is the credibility anymore?
You know, I noticed a change in the media at the, what would have been just 23, whenever Brett Yormark came in. And the way the Texas media at Big 12 media days were trying to frame the conversation about the Big 12 being, how are you going to survive without us? And they were literally us-ing, you know? And I'm like, wow, things have changed. I guess we're just now throwing that out and we're all in on being part of the team. And honestly, Pete, when you cover one team in what we do, we're dealing with all fans. That does get difficult, and you are creating content that serves their interests. So you're creating content with K-Staters, in my case, and in mind. But I saw a shift there that they felt like they were part of the team. And I thought, wow, this Texas thing is kind of spun out of control when you see guys that have been trusted in the newspaper business, as you know, in particular, and had great careers, now ussing and weeing about the Texas Longhorns. I'm like, okay, you guys really are part of the team. Give yourself a little burnt orange jersey. chop off something. Become the Bevo the Steer. I mean, I don't know what else you want to do, but you're really there repping, you know, the school interests. And
well,
it was disappointing.
they're not getting an NIL check. I know that much, but they should be based on how much they're fanboying. But I think a lot of that, you bring up an interesting part of the conversation. You know, Brett Yormark comes in, he knows they're leaving, and he was the first guy who kind of told OU in Texas to basically pound sand. And yeah, I think that bothered the programs, the universities, and as a result, it filtered down to some of the reporters. I think it's as simple as that.
I agree. I think Brett Yormark handled it perfectly well. I mean, he was like, okay, you're part of the conference in the immediate, but we're not going to include you in any planning. We don't really care about your feelings.
Nope.
We don't care about your interests other than attempting to be fair with how we handled you as you head out the door. I thought he did a good job with it, but you're right. There was almost this feeling, and of course, I got it more from Texas and Oklahoma, that, hey, we're royalty. You can't just ignore us. And what I've learned from this bad call, missed call, whatever it is, the SEC is already running out of stomach for Texas. I saw SEC fans like, we don't want them. So boy, Texas knows how to make its presence felt, but I'm so happy for them that they finally had something go their way.
It is nice. They finally got that break that they so desperately deserve, you know? Tim Fitzgerald is here. You know, of course, Kansas State, your bread and butter. I want to just put a bow on their season for a couple of minutes here. They got a good win over Rutgers in their bowl game. And listen, if they can figure out some things on the back end of that defense, why isn't Kansas State one of these 4 to 5 teams we're talking about as teams that can compete to get to a Big 12 championship game next year? Right. I think they should be in that conversation. I don't think we're ever going to be in a world where it's 2 or 3. I think for the foreseeable future, you'll have up to half a dozen teams you can make a case for. Is Kansas State one of them right now?
Absolutely. And the back end of the defense, you know, was hit by some departures and some injuries, and it's typical bowl stuff. You know, everyone's going through it right now, and it was awful. It was awful for the better part of 2.5 quarters. And then I don't know why the K-State coaches just put some really young dudes out on the field. And they played really well. I mean, they were true sophomores and redshirt freshmen and freshmen running around there on the back end of the defense. The only veteran was junior VJ Payne. And those dudes played a lot better than the more proven players. So I thought that was a really encouraging thing. And as that game wore on, K-State kept getting younger and younger with their personnel and playing better and better. And something, you know, recruiting classes at places like Kansas State are rarely one class just turns everything around. You're a developmental program. You're not going to find that for a while. But that 2023 class has been that. And, of course, we know about Avery Johnson and Jace Brown and Austin Romaine, the three true sophomores this season that played as freshmen out of that class. But we counted up to 15 guys out of a class of 23 that have had an impact on this team already in the amount of playing time or quality of play. And then you add Dylan Edwards into that, who's essentially in that same class. Yeah. You know, he was originally committed to be in that class. And it's astonishing how much talent, impactful talent, has come in with that class. And, you know, the oldest guys will be true juniors next year. They got a lot of tread on those tires, and it's going to be interesting to see how far that group can take Kansas State football.
How has Kansas State been navigating the NIL waters with, like you said, a class that's that talented, that has a very high ceiling, that already has some stars on it? How deep are those pockets there in Manhattan, and how are they weathering all that?
I guess it does something really interesting with its NIL on the football side. We know basketball just, you know, throws it around and brings in players, and maybe not to great effect. Football being a developmental program, which is getting exceedingly hard to do in this current environment, has aimed most of its NIL dollars internally. So we all expected Jace Brown to hit the transfer portal. He had basically told his teammates he was going to do that. But then at the end of the season, when they had been saying, look, we'll discuss this at the end of the season, we don't talk NIL during the season. Let's, you know, and they sat him down, and I don't know what the number was, but he stayed. And they didn't get, they didn't have a lot of attrition with key players. In fact, one of the, you know, players, a starter that left, Carver Willis, was cut basically, because he made it very clear that he had an NIL offer and he wanted K-State to match or exceed it. That NIL offer turned out to be not so certain, and he left K-State without one. So they've done a good job of keeping the talent. And then they might pick up a receiver here or there, someone that they really need. They need a receiver. They needed a defensive tackle, but the junior college ruling saved them from that. And they do throw around a little bit of money in the portal, but not like what some programs are. And some programs are throwing around a significant amount of money in the portal to bring players in. That's just not K-State style, and they don't feel like that's a good use of their money when trying to maintain a roster of guys that have 2-3 years experience is really how you succeed at Kansas State.
So that's interesting, that Carver Willis story. So basically you're saying the guy overplayed his hand, or he got caught with his pants down, whatever analogy you want to use is what happened.
Yeah. You know, he made it clear that he had an offer that was a large number from an SEC program. And they said, well, we can't match that. So have fun. Go take that. They called his bluff, and it turned out that offer didn't really exist, and he ended up at Washington. So he certainly landed on his feet at an exceptional program. The players are now trying to bluff their way into things, and K-State just isn't playing that game within the locker room, not during the season. No. And a lot of that crept into the locker room this year, and I think was part of the problem. NIL is a huge distraction. When players are too focused on that, they're not focused on winning games. And if they're too focused on NIL, you probably don't want them in your locker room.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I agree. And it's going to be tough. I mean, I think about Kansas State. I mean, Iowa State's in that same kind of conversation as a developmental program. But also, you got to retain your top guys. K-State's done it with their top guys. Iowa State's done it with their top guys so far. So what does it mean for the future of this conference with this current structure, where you still have some teams trying to do it the developmental way? You've got the Colorado way, but no one is that heavy hitter yet. Texas Tech might be the closest thing to it right now, where it's just like, here's a blank check. So how do you think this plays out for the future hierarchy in the Big 12?
It will be interesting. I'm told Texas Tech has one heck of a donor that has said, let's load up and try to get these players in here before, you know, some common sense comes to this with collectives moving in-house and revenue sharing, evening it out a little bit. And I think as this entire situation with the portal and NIL evolves, it will be interesting to see how different programs cope with it. And Pete, we really didn't understand the impact of NIL. I think it's evened out college football. A lot of guys that were backups at, you know, the more significant, at least financially, programs that could pay a lot of NIL said, hey, I'm going to go someplace to play because I can go to the portal now, and they get paid okay, but they want to play. And now they're going to programs where they're valued and they're getting on the field and they're thriving. And that's had a great equalization across college football we did not expect. But still, if you really want a player, those SEC schools can afford it. They are spending significantly more amounts of money with on-field product. And again, I think we're seeing that paying players larger and larger sums is not equating itself to more and more victories.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. And it is interesting that, I don't want to say the downfall, but the regression to the mean of Alabama and Georgia and some of the others seems to come at the same time that suddenly everybody can play players above the table. You know, I'm not making any accusations. You do whatever you want.
Yeah, they were doing it for years. We all knew it. And you know, we knew other programs were doing it too. Again, this is the malpractice of the NCAA by just turning their heads on that. And we come to this period, and they don't like the fact that now everyone can do that. Even if they can pay more, everyone can pay. And players are making decisions that they're not going to go to those SEC programs and not see playing time. And Pete, I think there's value in finding the guys that are like, yeah, I'm not taking the biggest number. I'm taking the best opportunity. The number's part of the decision. And if you're looking, if you're picking a school based on the number, you know, you offered me $1,000 more, I'm going to go to your place. That player is not going to be productive for you. They're not in it for the right reasons. And I think we're beginning to shake that out pretty clearly.
I mean, if I'm an offensive lineman and K-State develops them great, you know, are you going to go somewhere else for another 10, 15 grand when the upside to your earnings in the NFL is tens of millions of dollars, right? I mean, that still has to be part of the equation here. And it seems like I think guys are wising up. The thing I don't know about, Tim, in that whole world of NIL, and you may have more insight to it than I do, how bad is the situation with agents? What is the qualification to be an NIL agent? Is it every Uncle Tom who's suddenly an NIL agent? And how sketchy is that side of this industry that is totally unregulated?
Yeah, shout out to all the uncles named Tom. That's unfortunate. you know what? This is a major problem. This is how the NCAA just sat in the corner and pouted. They have put no structure, no guidelines on who is, quote, an agent. And guys with people with no training are telling people numbers that they have no idea about. And they're actually going out and shopping players to other programs that they don't represent, Pete. Then they go back to the player and say, hey, I can get you this much at this school. So technically, the program, this other school, isn't trying to poach anyone. It's the agent shopping these players. And that's the major problem right now. Agents are lying to players to get them into the portal, because once they're into the portal, it doesn't matter. I mean, of course, they want to get the biggest cut possible, but they're still going to get a cut of that. And if they're not in the portal, they get nothing. Right. And so they're not necessarily looking out for the best interests. And then sometimes maybe that agent is an uncle, a relative, a parent, and they're blinded to some things. And they can't properly represent you, and they get you into the portal, and then it turns out you didn't have better offers, or you end up with offers from places you don't want to be. It's a mess, and the NCAA has caused this by just pouting over losing court cases.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. Tim Fitzgerald is here, of course, Go Power Gap, Big 12 Insiders, joining us on Heartland College Sports. So, you know, Tim, as I look ahead to what is next, especially in the Big 12 on the football side, before we talk a little bit of hoops here, I love the fact that this conference is just so wide open, and I think it continues to be and will be next year the most entertaining conference. The question is, how does it close the gap, if possible, with the SEC and the Big Ten? We just talked about how it's happening kind of organically, but are those conference gaps closing? What does the Big 12 need to do? Is it as simple as opening up the checkbook, or is there something else that can be done?
We just need a pace setter. We need someone to assert themselves. Yeah, the competitiveness is great. It's fun. But I'm going to be honest here. What Oklahoma did in the Big 12 by dominating it for a long stretch made everyone better. You had Oklahoma to chase down. You knew exactly what you needed to do to get to the top of the conference, because it was on display with Oklahoma. And right now we have this hodgepodge in the Big 12 with some really good programs. We're going to need a couple programs to say, hey, we're here. We're going to assert ourselves. And I think programs like BYU that have, you know, some interesting angles they can work. Certainly Colorado, because they seem to have funding right now with Prime. And other ones have a great advantage to maybe becoming that type of program. We'll see. We certainly need someone to break from the field so everyone else has to pick up their pace and chase them.
Yeah. What about Arizona State? I don't think they're a flash in the pan. No. I mean, Dillingham's made a point to build that NIL. They may have the best quarterback for the next 2 years in the conference in Sam Levitt. They're bringing guys back left and right. I mean, I think I really think it's sustainable. I'm not saying playoff every year, but I think they can be in that top 3, 4, 5 conversation every year.
Yeah, I agree with you. Kenny Dillingham's been a blessing to that program. What a turnaround. And not a smoke and mirrors turnaround.
No.
It's tangible. You know, I didn't believe in Arizona State until I saw them. And when I saw him in person, I'm like, that's a good football team. That's a really well-coached football team that's fundamentally sound. Yeah, if, you know, Arizona State's got, what, 7 million students? yeah. A lot of it's online, but yeah. They have a huge student base. They have certainly plenty of wealthy donors. And if they direct that energy towards football, they could be the program. I feel the same way about UCF. They've got a lot of young donors who might step up and say, okay, we see an opening here to put us on the biggest stage. And you know, there's other programs, certainly Kansas State, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, kind of that core of the program or the conference along down to Texas Tech. They all also do too. There's a lot of programs in this conference that have an opportunity. They're open for business, as the boss says, and someone needs to run the business.
All right, Tim, last couple minutes I wanted to spend on hoops. We're early in conference play right now, but many would say that K-State and Arizona are probably the two biggest disappointments based on preseason expectations thus far in the Big 12 conference. You know, you're hearing a lot of noise in Manhattan as someone on the outside looking in. I mean, people are looking at Jerome Tang. Is he just a flash in the pan from a couple of seasons ago? What's going wrong, and can it turn around this season?
I think we saw a little bit of a turnaround against Cincinnati. They looked really good. Arizona won their Big 12 opener too. It's just, it's interesting how that happens. And then they blew a 6-point lead with 3 minutes to go at TCU and lose, giving up a 7-0 run down the stretch. that just shows the imperfections of this team. But this is also a team that got smoked by Wichita State, which is not a good program this year. And that was just 3 games ago. So they have made progress, even though that was a loss. And Tuesday night at Oklahoma State, a very winnable game for Kansas State, might tell the story of this team.
Last thing then, in the final minute, do they have to basically win the Big 12 tournament or the Big 12 to get to the NCAA tournament? Is that kind of where K-State minds are at right now? Or can they have a really good conference record and make it?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you get to 11, 12 conference wins, you know, including Kansas City, I think you're okay, but you're not going to be seated real high. You know, I had one of the coaches tell me, hey, it just took us some time to get them together. And I'm like, well, it took you a third of the season and you can't make up for that. You've now got to play wildly better than we expected, let alone compared to how you played. And that's what they're facing now against an incredibly competitive conference, needing to go at worst, Pete, 500 during the regular season. And I don't think this team's capable of doing that. So back to your question. Yeah, probably.
Tim Fitzgerald, Go Power Cat, Big 12 Insiders. We appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Pete. I always love doing it.
I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is, of course, where you find us covering the Big 12 online, on YouTube, on the podcast. Drop that 5-star rating and review. Subscribe to the channel, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great day.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.